blow through our gathering as you blew through that Pentecost gathering so many centuries ago. Breathe in us your new creation, that we may be renewed and revived to be your people once more. Speak through our differences and our diversity, and bind us together in unity and love.
Good morning. It's great to see all of you here this morning. And welcome to worship on this Pentecost Sunday. And as Pastor Ben said, it's a busy weekend, that's for sure, especially with Memorial Day. And I do want to thank Dorothy and Laverne for putting the flags out around the church. And it's great to have a time to reflect on what those in the past have sacrificed so that we can have freedom.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The opening scripture today is Psalm 104, 24 through 35. And the heading for this psalm in my Bible says, "The theme is appreciating God through his creation. He not only creates, but he maintains his creation. The Lord's care is the source of our joy. Lord, you have done so many things. You made them all so wisely. The earth is full of your creations. And then there's the sea, wide and deep, with its countless creatures, living things, both small and large. There go the ships on it, and the Leviathan, which you made, plays in it. All your creations wait for you to give them their food on time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled completely full. But when you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. When you let loose your breath, they are created, and you make the surface of the ground brand new again. Let the Lord's glory last forever. Let the Lord rejoice in all he has made. He has only to look at the earth and it shakes. God just touches the mountains and they erupt in smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I'm still alive. Let my praise be pleasing to him. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Let sinners be wiped clean from the earth. Let the wicked be no more. But let my whole being bless the Lord. Praise the Lord." That is God's word for God's people.
Good morning. As most of you know, Pastor Ben has received a new appointment, and we're excited for him. We will miss him, but wish him nothing but the best in that new appointment. This is his last Sunday with us. He will be available to us till June 1st, which is a couple days away. So if you have a need, you know, you may call him. But we wish you the best, Pastor Ben. Then, we do have a new appointment to us. Bishop Julius Trimble announces the appointment of Reverend Roberta Cook as pastor of the Oxford United Methodist Church, effective July 1st, 2023. We will be sharing Pastor Roberta with the Remington United Methodist Church. Pastor Roberta and her husband, Michael, will be residing in the parsonage at Remington. They have family in Williamsport and in Monticello. Roberta has gifts in helping direct a congregation, preaching, and also pastoral care. She has training in coaching one-on-one and in groups. She has experience in small town rural ministry. She is an ordained elder in the United Methodist Church. Further, she will be engaged full-time in ministry between the two churches, which allows availability for weekday presence, funerals, and daytime visitation. The appointment requires both churches to adjust worship. So, this will be in your newsletter when you receive it. We will be adjusting our worship time to 9:30. That will not begin until July 2nd. Okay. Roberta's first Sunday here with us will be July 9th. She'll be moving into the parsonage that first week of July, so she will not have an opportunity to bring us God's word at that time. Remington will be changing their worship to 11 o'clock. So she'll be here and have a couple moments to chat before she needs to leave for her next assignment. Okay, we do welcome her and her leadership.
Would you join me in prayer, please? Lord, we are grateful to be gathered together today to worship your holy name, for you are worthy to be praised. Thank you for being our Creator, our Father, our Redeemer, our Shepherd, and King. And thank you for your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And thank you for the Holy Spirit sent to us, and we are celebrating that today, so thank you. We lift our people up to you today in prayer and know that you hear and will answer. We lift Ben up to you today, Lord, and pray that he will continue to be your faithful servant at Trinity Church. We lift up the families of those men and women who sacrificed their lives that we might be a free country and a free people to come and praise your name. Please touch the hearts of those who don't know you, and forgive them. And also, Lord, forgive those of us who get busy and sometimes forget to acknowledge you in our daily lives. Fill us with your love and grace, and help us to honor you in all that we say and do. Amen. Now, if you'll join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
At this moment, the ushers will be coming forward to collect this morning's tithes and offerings. This is a moment for us to give back to God a portion of what God has already given to us as a way of saying thank you. So at this moment, as they come forward, let us not just give our money, but let us also give our hearts in service to the Lord today, tomorrow, and moving forward.
The sign out front says, "Freedom is not free." And that's the name of the poem I'm going to read this morning. Freedom is not free. I watched the flag pass by one day. It fluttered in the breeze. A young Marine saluted it, and then he stood at ease. I looked at him in uniform, so young, so tall, so proud. He'd stand out in any crowd. I thought how many men like him had fallen through the years. How many died on foreign soil. How many mothers' tears. How many pilots' planes shot down. How many died at sea. How many foxholes were soldiers' graves? No, freedom is not free.
Creative Spirit, create miracles through these gifts we return to you now. Create miracles through us as we give our lives back to you. Create miracles through our gifts as we share them with one another. Truly, the whole of the gifts you have given us is greater than the sum of the parts, thanks to your powerful presence in our lives and in our church. Amen. Our scripture reading from the New Testament comes from the book of Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 21. When Pentecost day arrived, they were all gathered in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans, every one of them? How then can each of us hear them speaking in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, as well as residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the regions of Libya bordering Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own languages." They were all surprised and bewildered. Some asked each other, "What does this mean?" Others jeered at them, saying, "They're full of new wine." Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk, as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness, and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is a word from our scriptures this day. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we come before you this morning thankful for this opportunity that we have to gather together and to be able to encounter your Holy Spirit. Lord, be with us. May our hearts and minds be open to receive that which your Spirit has for us to receive this Pentecost day. May the words from my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you in your sight, for you, Lord, are our rock and our Redeemer, now and forever. Amen. So it's amazing how sometimes you can get two different people telling about the same events, but wind up with two different stories or two different angles or two different perspectives. We've heard this before. You get four people on each corner of a four-way stop watching the same car wreck, and when the police show up taking witness accounts, what happens? They get four different accounts of the same event that happened. So with this in mind, it really shouldn't be a surprise to us. It shouldn't be a stretch for us when in realizing that the Bible is comprised of these books that are comprised of several different authors, that you would get different perspectives and different angles on some of the same things that happen. Today, we have two different Pentecost stories that are being shared with us in the lectionary readings this morning. Now, the first one comes from the book of Acts that you just heard, and likely you are a little bit more than just familiar with it. You've heard it over and over and over again. It's a dramatic scene that is often recounted with wonder and amazement, and it's really no wonder that it's a popular story. Then there's John's account from John chapter 20, which is much more demure and comes about in some different circumstances, this blessing of the Holy Spirit, and you'll hear that being read in just a short bit. Instead of trying to suss out which of these tellings is the true way, the only way that the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, though, we're telling ourselves that the Bible must then be wrong and toss it out because it once again contradicts itself, let me present you with this idea instead. We need both of these stories. We need both of these accounts of the Holy Spirit coming upon and interacting with the disciples. We need both of these stories because they both describe legitimate ways in which we encounter the Holy Spirit even today. The passage in Acts shows us that there are these moments in our lives in which we encounter the Holy Spirit in these exuberant and these glorious and these wonderful ways where we feel as though our hearts have been set on fire. Sometimes we may have found ourselves speaking to people in new and different ways, and words will be coming out of our mouths, completely Spirit-inspired, but words that we never thought would have been coming from us before. There are those moments when, in encountering the Holy Spirit, the joy spills out from us in the form of laughter that is infectious. It spills out from us because we just can't contain it any longer. And we can't help but be carried away by the wonder and the glory of the God that we worship. When you have an opportunity to, I know it was just read a moment ago, but find some time today and go back and read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Maybe sometime between the 49th and the 3,000th lap of the race today. Take your pick. And I know, much like watching the same movie again, you know the plot twist, you know the lines. It doesn't quite have the same oomph behind it, but go back and read it again. But as you do, really try to put yourself in the disciples' shoes. Knowing the circumstances, you know that the disciples were afraid. You know that they were experiencing despair in their moment. Because no matter how much they try to play it off as cool, like we all do, no matter how much they try to play it off as cool, they were afraid. They felt empty of meaning, and looking towards a life with no meaning is frightening. They tried to avoid thinking about what the rest of their lives were going to look like without that person anymore walking beside them, without Jesus there walking beside them. They had tasted what it meant to live life to the fullest. They felt life in a way that they could never have possibly imagined on their own. And now the one that brought them that possibility, that brought them that meaning, that brought them that fullness, was gone. Can you imagine the disciples in that room, avoiding each other's eye contact for fear that if they looked in each other's eyes, knowing the same pain, knowing the same despair, knowing the same emptiness, that they would just lose it? So in an attempt to try to keep it cool, they don't even look at each other in the eyes because they know that they would just spiral out emotionally. And then this overwhelming sound comes along and shakes them out of their stupor. We really don't know what the sound sounded like. Some like to say it was like a freight train, but we know that's complete conjecture. Freight trains weren't around 2,000 years ago. Others have likened it to a tornado. Others have likened it to this wind storm. We don't really know what this deafening roar sounded like. But we do know it was this deafening roar. But yet it wasn't oppressive. It wasn't oppressive like that sound of the tornado. It wasn't oppressive like that windstorm. It wasn't even oppressive like that freight train that goes through your town. Believe me, that can be really oppressive. I've lived in an apartment next to a train track before. Woo! It wasn't oppressive. Instead, it was like this roar of hope. A wind-like hope. I know that might sound odd, a wind-like hope. Now you're just making stuff up, Ben, but just hold on. Think about it. Have you ever felt like you were down in the dumps and all of a sudden you can't really explain it, but there's this influx of hope that just overwhelmed your heart and made you realize I can stand up and made you realize that things were going to be okay? In that moment, you had hope to keep going, as if wind had come beneath you and picked you up by your wings. Here we have the disciples experiencing this wind-like hope that showed up suddenly, lifted them suddenly in bright spirits, and dried their tears away. All of a sudden, they felt like they were flying on this wind of faith, and for a moment, believing in eternity once again. Like you could feel it bearing you up with grace. Oh yeah, and then there's fire. We can't forget about the fire. Who doesn't love a good fire? This image that the logo of the United Methodist Church tries to convey with these flames upon the cross. Meaning and standing for the Holy Spirit alighting upon the disciples and in turn alighting upon us as well. Remember the fire in your bones that you had to just let out somehow, whether it be laughter or it be in dancing or it be singing. Those moments where your excitement can't be physically contained within you any longer, where you have to do something about it. Luke, the author of Acts, writes that these tongues of flame were divided and seated on the disciples. Now, we can read into divided what's not meant to be read. Some of us might be here, divided is like, oh, wait, yeah, all those denominations that just couldn't get along with each other. No, that's not what Luke is trying to convey here. Have you ever actually looked deep and spent hours looking at a fire before? Well, it might be the bonfire, it might be the campfire. I'm looking forward to campfires later on this summer. But when you look at this fire, you see all these individual bursts of flame, these tongues of flame just rising up. But at the same time, at their base, they're still one with each other. Sometimes you see these tongues wrapping around each other. Sometimes they get so blurred with each other that you can't tell the difference between one tongue of flame and the other tongue of flame. They're all different, they're all unique, and yet they're all the same. They're all together, they're all united. Each of these flames might be distinct, but at the same time, they're together. When you look at that fire and the tongues of flame that look up in the air, you realize this isn't different. There's uniqueness, there's individuality, but at the same time, they're the same. You see, this division of the tongues of fire, it's not a separating, it's inclusion. The tongues reach out like octopus arms, wanting to gather in, wanting to bind together, wanting to make as one. Yes, the disciples, they each had an individual experience, just like we have an individual experience today. At the same time, it was also a corporate reality. They were each in this together. They were all as if they were one. This Holy Spirit fire is one that unites as it leaps from one to another until all are connected in this experience. It's a kind of fire that builds us up together and only destroys that which would keep us from experiencing joy in Christ. And all of this was a glorious yet very much unexpected experience for the disciples that day. You see, Pentecost was traditionally a low-key agricultural holiday for the Jewish people. It's kind of like one of those lesser-known holidays. It's not the Christmas. It's not the Easter. It's not even the 4th of July, but it's one of those lesser-known deals, you know, like National Pizza Day or National Donut Day. It's one of those lesser-known deals. So the disciples, they weren't expecting this. Luke shares with us that this day of Pentecost came like a violent wind. It was fire, it was power, it was chaos, it was noise. Yet at the same time, it was filled with meaning. It was filled with hope. And then they themselves were filled with the power to be, filled with the power to grow, and filled with the power to love as Christ Himself loved. Now, it's fun to say that Pentecost is the birthday of the church and all. It's fun to say that. It's fun to think of it because we imagine birthday cakes and ice cream and presents. But it's more than that. It's more than cake and ice cream, and it's more than getting to be another year older, which, depending upon who you are, is an exciting prospect, depending on who you are. But Pentecost is a moment of power where transformation is made possible. That sounds all well and good, but let's be honest. Expecting to rise to that level every time you encounter the Holy Spirit, well, it's just not realistic. Even John Wesley seemed to understand that there were varying degrees of flame that fills our hearts as we encounter the Holy Spirit. On May 24th, back in the 1780s, John writes in his journal, what we refer to as Aldersgate Day now, because he had this experience on Aldersgate Street in London. He wrote on that day that he felt his heart strangely warmed. He didn't write, "My heart was set on fire." He didn't write, "My heart exploded." He didn't write, "I felt this incoming gust and burst of a tornado-like wind within me." No, he just writes, "My heart was strangely warmed." It was a moment that meant everything to him. At the same time, it was a moment that likened the Holy Spirit more to the candles that are burning up on the altar than it did any bonfire we could experience. I'm reminded of Genesis, where we read that God breathed life into man. Here's this shell, here's this vessel, and God breathed the Spirit into this person. This wind that entered into us. Sometimes the breath that we find within ourselves is not dramatic. It's not like a powerful tornado. It's not like those massive fans that you see in sports facilities. Sometimes that breath is more like a sigh, more often than we care to admit. A sigh as we experience pain or sadness or grief or uncertainty or fear. It's not a gust. It's not a burst. It's just if you don't feel excited or powerful or joyful every single time you enter into a sanctuary, every single time you feel God moving, it's okay. It's okay. It's normal. Give yourself permission to feel and to experience what it is that you're feeling and experiencing. Don't try to manufacture an experience to convince everybody else how awesome the Spirit is. Don't get yourself up in this false hype. Let yourself be real. Because here's the thing. Even when you're sighing, that's still breath. Even when you're sighing, that's still a reminder that God is with you. Even when you don't feel excited. Even when you don't feel like your soul and your heart is overflowing. Even when you don't feel like you're set on fire. God is still with you, even in those moments. And that sigh can be a remembrance of that. There's an idea for you. That even in those moments where you're exhausted or feeling overwhelmed, where you find yourself at your wit's end, what do people tell you to do in those moments? Take a breath. In that breath, when you finally listen to them and you finally take it, there's that moment, even if it's just a nanosecond, there's that moment where you feel relief. When you slow down and there's a sense of calm that has been just outside of your reach. Not to say that there still isn't work to be done, but take a breath and then move forward. This is more in line with the Pentecost experience that John shares in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Jesus had two phrases, both surrounding this word peace, that he spoke to his disciples. Once before his crucifixion and once after his resurrection. Once before, "Peace I leave with you." And then now, in the midst of the disciples, upon suddenly appearing, even though the doors were locked, he says, "Peace be with you." It's at this point of the story that we remember that the last time any of them saw Jesus breathe was when he supposedly drew his last breath on the cross. And yet here he is now, before them, breathing once again, drawing in the breath necessary to encourage his disciples, drawing in the breath necessary to comfort his disciples, drawing in the breath necessary to assure them. Drawing the breath needed to utter words, "Peace be with you." And he breathed on them. He brought a breath of peace into that locked and scared room. And he invited them to receive the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that he had commended to God was now being returned and given to us in a breath. Peace. So maybe moving forward, we might find ourselves saying, "Breathe on me, Jesus. Breathe on me, Holy Spirit." In those moments where tensions are high, when I can't figure out what's what in this increasingly complicated world, breathe on me and give me some peace. as much as it would be nice. I'm not even asking for a peace that comes with the resolution of all my problems and all of my issues. It's not a peace that fixes all broken things, that lifts all responsibilities and covenants, nor answers every question, thus removing any and all doubts. No, just breathe on me a breath that I might find enough peace to continue on this journey forward, even when it seems difficult and impossible otherwise. Peace enough to work towards that resolution, to work towards doing the work of healing the broken. Or at least peace enough that allows me to limp along with a slight bit of grace and confidence. A peace that breathes through all of those responsibilities and all of those covenants and all of those promises, so that at the end of the day, we might be lifted up and bound together. Breathe on me a peace that casts out fear and allows us to experience perfect love. And sometimes that breath, it doesn't happen in a huff or a continued airflow like you're blowing through a trumpet, but instead, sometimes that peace comes with that sigh. A breath that brings with it a peace that comes only as a gift. In the surprise joy or the unexpected encounter, a breath that shows us that not even death can keep us from the peace that Christ has to offer us. Jesus breathed on his disciples in their most difficult moment and encouraged them by offering peace to be with them. Receive the spirit of holiness. Receive the spirit of ordination. Receive the spirit of mission and ministry, the spirit of love. Receive it and then practice it. Love from the strong center of peace, from the contentment of faith, of putting your hands in the source of love and joy and peace. Lean into it, trust it, and receive it. So whether this breath that you experience comes in moments of excitement like a hurricane, or in the sighs that remind us that the peace of Christ is with us even in the difficulties of life, no matter which way we encounter the Holy Spirit, may we be a people who receive this breath and allow ourselves to be transformed by it. Let us pray. God, we come before you this day thankful for this opportunity that you've given us to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and thankful for this reminder that you are with us and that through your breath we are empowered, enabled, and equipped by the Holy Spirit to keep moving forward, especially when things are difficult. So Lord, be with us and let us experience your Spirit in all the ways in which the Spirit blows in our lives. May we come to the realization that we are continually being united with all peoples in this same fire that has come upon all of your children. Be with us, Lord, and help us to see and notice and be transformed by your Spirit as it comes upon us. Amen. You are invited to stand as you are able as we sing our closing hymn, We Are the Church. Until we meet again, my friends, may the road rise up to meet you and the wind be always at your back, the sun shine warm upon your face, and the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may we be open to experiencing and recognizing the Spirit, no matter how the Spirit shows up in our lives, as a tornado or as that breath. And realize that it's always a reminder that we're always in the palm of the Almighty's hand. Amen.